The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line's on today. Open line through to 1, call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Nick Kay was on yesterday. Interesting chat with the pharmacist. So anything you want to follow up on that, by all means do get in touch. On the same subject, we mentioned briefly yesterday Teresa Cope, the outgoing chief exec of Manxcare, and she says that healthcare on the island needs to be, it'll look very different in 10 years' time. 2036. She's been given evidence at the Timwell Public Accounts Committee regarding this year's budget for Manxcare and how it's going to be shaped going forward. Any thoughts on this? I mean, it's as I mentioned the other day, we need to look forward on this. We need to figure out what exactly it is that we're going to do. Manxcare was formed in, what, April 2021. It was actually April the 1st, I know, 2021, as an arm's-length organisation established to focus on delivery of health and social care on the Isle of Man. It's the Sir Jonathan Michael Review recommended it, so we paid for the review. He recommended it, and we did it. DHSC continues to be responsible for strategy, planning, policy and regulation. And, well, we are where we are. Just anecdotally, I met a lady today who's been waiting a long time for a hip to be replaced and hasn't even had a referral yet, but needs a hip replacement. Now, once upon a time, we used to whiz through those, didn't we, when we brought the people over from Scotland. Now, well, it just seems to be a bit of a hold-up. What's happening with the new layout at Parc Fermé at the grandstand? The rows of tents and containers, says Ali. Is this what Eric was referring to the other day? Is it the new television studio that they're having there? And regarding the report on Quidgen, when did pub toilets start getting called bathrooms over here? They have no bath in them. We aren't American yet, says 366. So what is going to happen to Manxcare? Again, this will affect you, it'll affect me, it affects everybody on the Isle of Man. At some point, we all bump into Manxcare, whether it's healthcare, whether it's social care, whatever it is, at some point we'll need them. And Manxcare, as I mentioned, 5 years on, very different to what it used to be. Teresa Cope was asked how the three elements of the DHSC's mandate to Manxcare, the body's operating plan, the budget interlock, and how Timwell members can be assured of which one will actually prevail when they vote. Teresa Cope said a very clear health and social care strategy for the next decade would fundamentally help manage the finances moving forward.
So what we really want and should be doing is delivering care in communities, removing care from hospital, using digital and focusing on prevention.
Early intervention and prevention.
Delivering home first and care in our communities. And the third, and it's incredibly important, the use of digital. And we had a visit from the deanery, who are responsible for monitoring all of our doctors in training. And we are the only area in the Northwest without electronic prescribing. And it was noted by the deanery. So we're considerably off the pace with the Manxcare record, with electronic prescribing, and more broadly, using digital capabilities to really enhance patient care. And there are some amazing technologies out there, but we are nowhere near nowhere near ready and you know, quite far behind in that. That would significantly reduce cost in healthcare. And we need to invest now for health services to look very different in 10 years' time.
Teresa Cope. Well, that's what we need to do. Who's going to pay for it? And of course, in the meantime, we've got to get a new chief executive officer for Manxcare. And Teresa Cope doesn't leave for a wee while yet. So by the time all the recruitment agencies get to it, by the time we've had everything referred and we've done interviews and the person who's got the job has got to presumably give some notice, we could be springtime, it could be Easter next year before we get a new chief exec. In the meantime, who's going to run the place? I'm sure I paid Colburn's a deposit charge when I bought a TV there a few years ago. We were talking about this. It was when Bill Dale from Beach Buddies was on saying that we should be paying a disposal charge when we buy big electrical goods here, whether television, whatever it is, fridge, dishwasher, freezer, anything, microwave even, in that you pay a disposal charge when you buy it, and then at the end, presumably somebody just put a barcode on it, and that'll just be scanned and that's it. As it is at the moment, it's a temptation. If you don't want to fork out, you know, if you're throwing a couple of things away, it's the best part of £100. If you don't want to spend that, some people are tempted just to lob it into the countryside or over into the sea. Not a good idea. Fish don't use microwaves. But how do we do that? And do you think that will be easily done if... and I mentioned the notion that I'm sure that happens in Europe, and everybody can back me up on this. I'm sure in the EU, when you buy white goods, you have to pay the disposal charge. Then there's a code put on it, and when it breaks down or you want another one, it's just scanned and it's taken away. You don't have to pay anything. Consequently, it takes away the risk and the temptation of fly tipping. The island is a fly tipping issue, especially with electrical goods, says Colin. Why, if you recycle a washing machine and only left with a chassis and body, which is metal only, the amenities site refused to allow the disposal unless you pay the full cost of what they would charge for a complete machine? So if you take the guts out... Well, also electrical goods and its disposal price of them is built in, so why are there any charges? Somebody did mention in the other day, apparently, if you... the internal bit, you know, the drum of a washing machine, when it's finished, apparently that's very good for a fire pit. I didn't know that. Stainless steel fire pit. We'll see. While everybody is bashing Manxcare, they and the NHS saved my life last year, says Dave. I had major surgery in Liverpool and my referral was quick and expedient. Otherwise, the outcome would have been very different for me. Teresa Cope had a very difficult job and I'd like to thank her for her service, says Dave M. A message didn't get yesterday, and if anybody can explain this to me, I'd love to know. Mucus is the problem. It's a cause of a lot of problems, says 311. That was a late message that we didn't get into. Nick, I'll hold that one over for next time. Mucus, we were talking about COPD at the time and the problems, and we whizzed through an awful lot of stuff. And if you didn't catch it all yesterday, it's available as a podcast. Of course, every program is available as a podcast. Wherever your podcast provider is, Man in Line is on there, and you can listen back to your heart's content. In fact, there are people all over the world, Manx people all over the world, who listen to Man in Line at weekends. I know, can you imagine? Can you imagine the sort of lives they do? There's one particular guy who lives in the sunshine and listens to Man in Line every weekend. Hello, Nigel. And hello, Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. You mentioned before about the election in Ramsey, yeah. The by-election. Right, I've got my papers filled in and I'm standing.
Oh, Eric, which ward?
Not sure yet. I've got them filled in for both. So just see what the interest is in the election.
And what would you like to see in Ramsey?
Common sense, I think, would be a lot of it, with what's happening in there. Other than that, I can't make any promises, but if there's anything that needs fighting for, I'll fight for it. as long as it doesn't take 6 years.
Have you been a public representative before?
Yes, I was 2019, I think it was. No, it's further back than then. About 17 or 18, I think it was. I did a couple of years, so I'm going to give it another go now.
Right. And what was your experience then?
Wasn't brilliant, and that's why I left. But the people who weren't brilliant aren't there anymore. So I might have a better chance this time.
You see, from the outside, the voters, everybody thinks everything is simple in local authorities. So, I mean, what's the hold-up?
It's not. I mean, a lot of things are out of the control of the commissioners anyway. You know, people think they're responsible for everything, like roads and everything, pavements, but it all belongs to the DOI. But in general, you know, Ramsey seems to go along pretty good. I mean, since I've been able to get on the bus, I've been in Castletown, Port Eyre and Port St Mary, but I still don't think any of them are as good as what Ramsey is.
Right, OK. Well, we can't endorse you, but applaud your public spiritedness.
Yep. OK, then.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Eric. Vacancies are open across the North and South Ward in Ramsey. A by-election is going to be held for 4 new people to join the commissioners. The local authority currently has 1 vacant seat in North Ward following the sad death of Wilf Young, which was announced at the end of last month. Also, 3 openings for new representatives in the South Ward. Stella Moss and Albie Oldham resigned, and Reverend Greenwood didn't attend the required number of meetings to remain on the board. So nominations open for candidates 10 o'clock Wednesday 20th of May. That's next Wednesday the 20th. They open and must be submitted by 1 p.m. on the 27th. And if you want more information, you can go to maxradio.com, click on the news page, click on the Ramsey news story, and there are full details about standing in the election by clicking on a link on there. So 1 vacancy in North Ward and 3 vacancies in Ramsey South Ward. You're not standing, are you, Dewan?
I've been asked that a few times, Andy. I'm sure there's a certain amount of civil service that would love me to stand, because then they'd be able to quieten me down when I was inside and make me sign certain documents. So I probably wouldn't be as much of a nuisance to them if I was in the system. So probably not, Andy. Probably not. on that point, what was announced the other day? A transition administrator's role. Did you see that come up? 55,000 a year for, 55,000 for 6 months' work to help transition new politicians into the service. What do you think about that?
My word.
Well, I just wonder, from all them years ago when the island was affluent and had businessmen running it and we'd done things out of the box, we never had a transition administrator to help these people get in there and get on with the job, did they? I just wonder why these positions are just fought up. It just bemuses me when the government come on and say we're cutting down on this and we're cutting down on that, and then we get a transition administrator come into position.
The thing is that politics has changed an awful lot. If you look back 50 years to the 1970s, even further back than that, we had business people. We had lots of farmers in Tynwald in those days, but it was a part-time job. You know, it was only when the ministerial system came in and people started getting paid full time that the thinking was that they didn't just want rich men, and it was rich men in those days, running the Isle of Man, and they were part. I mean, they had to be rich because it was a part-time job. They didn't get paid much, so we can't have our cake and eat it. If we want it to be open to everybody, then, you know, they have to be paid a certain amount. And as with everything, I mean, in every walk of life, Dewan, bureaucracy has multiplied. So politics is just the same.
It has, but we don't have to follow that, do we? We are our own little independent little jewel in the Irish Sea here. And I think generally, yes, it could be open to most people, but people need to study it as a job. They need to take their time off to study the Hansards and all the stuff that goes with running the island. And it is basically just running a business. And I think people who have not actually run a business from scratch and had to roll their sleeves up and get on with it doesn't understand the ethics of running anything. And the island's just the same as that. And, you know, Isle of Man PLC, it should be run as a business. And unfortunately, we get the bean counters in there, and the people that have come out of university have not had to struggle to make a business. And I think that's half the problem. We've got people in there who are telling, you know, people with experience what to do, and they've had no experience themselves.
We got a message in from Belinda last week, actually, talking about politicians, and she said, the trouble is that most politicians nowadays seem to want to be social workers, because all they ever talk about is spending public money. And when they talk about, you know, improving people's quality of life, Belinda said, when I was a girl, you improved your quality of life by rolling up your sleeves and working hard.
Yes. Yeah, and that's right. And to fix the problem that we've got now, we're going to have to roll our sleeves up and work hard. Everyone's going to have to do that to get the basics back of where we are. Just moving slightly on that to Andre Richer and following what he's been saying about the hospital. And I think now, I believe the cataract operations now will back up to 2.5 year waiting list. So it's like the fourth bridge, painting the fourth bridge, isn't it? As soon as you finish it, it starts again. So 2.5 years on that, and I believe that they're looking at outsourcing again, which again is going to come at a big cost. You spoke about this the other day, about bank and how much extra it costs to bring people in from agency workers. And I think Andre's got a fair point there. As a person who's working inside the hospital, it needs to come back to the people who know the ground and know what they need, and then tell the accountants, this is what we need, and then the accountants and the bean shufflers make it happen. Whereas at the moment, I think the shoe is on the wrong foot. They had a culling before Manx Care came in. There was a cull of staffing levels up there of middle and high level, and of course when Manx Care came in, that increased again. So I appreciate what Theresa is saying about moving forward with healthcare and the way it should go, but a lot of it is down to a lot of wasted energy within the office work up there, and not enough people on the ground floor. And that goes with government as well. We've got a massive amount of civil servant paper shufflers, jobs that have been created. They need a secretary, they need someone to file their papers, and so it goes on. And the people who are stuck with the mucky end of the stick is the people on the ground floor that have got to go out and do the work, clean the drains, fix everything. Well, we've got a load of people in offices sending post-it notes to everyone and telling half the island's telling everyone what to do in a letter.
But I thought that we were meant to get leaner and meaner. We were meant to say AI and everything was going to save us a fortune by cutting down on things like that.
And this is the thing, isn't it? AI is not going to be the god it says it's going to be, I'm sure. But AI is going to take away massive amounts of skills and jobs away from different areas. How are people going to survive then? How are they going to what do you get up in the morning for? How do you get your money to go and live and work? It's an interesting scenario that's coming up here. Everyone's jumping to AI, but it's certainly going to change the whole aspect of.
Well, regarding Manx Care, somebody somewhere must have the answer to this. As long as it doesn't involve spending shed loads more of money, we're not just going to shovel cash down a hole. But really, surely somebody must know there's a way round this for the Isle of Man. Because before Manx Care, and obviously DHSC was always going back to Tynwald for more and more money. That always happened. But the system used to work on the ground floor, as it were, on the shop floor. It used to work, but it just seems now that people are losing faith in the fact if they can't get a dentist, and when they can't get an NHS dentist, in the end give up and just go private, and because there's no hope to that, when they can't get a GP appointment, when the emergency department is full at the weekends, people are qualified really to say, well, what is going on, Juan?
And is it back to my basic point, is it not just basic business? If there's more going out of a business than what comes into it, the business doesn't work. It can't sustain the level that it's at. And I think that's where we are now. Like I said, that we've encouraged a lot more of senior people to come and live here, among other aspects that's come to live here. But then people have quite rightly paid into the system over the years. But the cost of healthcare has gone up exponentially in the last decade. So what they've put into the system doesn't cover what's being put out now. And then people, quite rightly, they want looking after. They've paid into the system all them years in the UK and it's been transferred, but they're at the blood clinic every week. Then, you know, cataract operations and everything costs so much more now. So there's so much more going out of the system and not enough people putting into the system. So, you know, it's just a basic business model, isn't it? It doesn't work like that.
All right, have a good weekend, June. Thanks for
Take
calling.
Take care, Andy.
All right, 26 minutes past 12. Well, it seems like the crunch is coming, and obviously with Manx Care, the demand is theoretically unlimited. And again, Theresa Cope had to make the decisions throughout her tenure when certain medications came in that were very expensive that we weren't going to buy them. So, just talking as we were yesterday to Nick Kay, Big Pharma will always find solutions, but until they go out of patent, they're expensive. So who decides? I'm tempted to say, who plays God? Andrew's on now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Andy. I wasn't going to mention this, but June's just mentioned it. Management at Manx Care, the accountant, the finance director, is that person actually qualified in any way for cost control, as a cost control accountant? Perhaps somebody can come on and tell us, other than having maybe a BSc in accountancy and possibly in just public accounts, that's, you know, if you were running a business, you wouldn't have somebody who doesn't have cost control. Separately, please, the TD grandstand.
Yeah.
At the, in the Pit Lane, the Parc Fermé, there's now some container boxes, two container boxes high, and restrict the view. So I mean, if you go to the Villa or the Gaiety to see a show, it says on the booking form, these are restricted view seats, because you can't see everything on the stage, and you get a reduced price. Now, whoever it is has decided to plonk some container units there, which are some sort of hospitality by the looks of it, because they've got a veranda. And now when you're in the grandstand, you can't see up Glencutry Road.
Have you been up there?
I have been up. I actually put a photograph on Facebook, right. Social media.
Is this what somebody was saying the other day? These things, are they for the television studio or something there? Does it look like that or?
Possibly.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know.
Andrew,
but I mean,
where are you? You sound like you're at the top of Snae Fell.
just going for an appointment.
Okay.
So who's put them there? Are they going to be offering discounted prices now?
Right. Okay. Well, we'll find out. We'll just see what they are for definite, if anybody knows what they are. And again, sorry, Andrew.
The last thing, please, Mr. Tim Crookall. You drive in and out from Peel most days, and you pass the Cooley Ree nature place just before Tynwald Hill. It's got an east entrance and a west entrance, and along the footpath The curb is totally destroyed and it's a danger. If you try to walk along that at night time, you could easily end up falling into the road. So that is now, I've made three calls to the report a pothole, etc., and nothing's happened. The first call was, I think, was back in February. Nothing's happening. It's a danger, and we've got Tynwald Day coming up. So, Mr. Crookall, if you're listening, you must drive in and out past that all the time. Why is nothing being done? Leave it with there.
Okay, have a good weekend, Andrew. Thanks for calling.
You as well. Cheers now.
Half past 12. Does anybody know what those portable buildings are, the temporary buildings then, that restrict the visibility from the grandstand? £100,000 has been allocated to enable households to access government's energy efficiency scheme. Well, this is timely because on Monday, Claire Barber is in from DEFA. So we'll be talking more about this. 4,500 homes will possibly benefit from this cost-saving kit. And they have already. It was launched in 2022, wasn't it? The Green Living Grant, or whatever it was called. £1.7 million worth of home improvements were delivered to date. Eligible residents can get up to £820 worth of free kit, including loft insulation, LED light bulbs, and smart heating controls. And an extra £525 is available towards installation costs for eligible groups. Renters and social housing tenants can also apply. So Claire Barber says it's improving the energy efficiency of our homes, and we're playing our part in meeting the island's net zero commitments. If you want more information, go to Manx Radio's news page and click on the news story, and there's a click through, or you can call them actually right now, 0808 1624 276. That's 0808 1624 276, and we'll ask Claire Barber more about that on Monday.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties. Preferred Futures IOM is a local mental health charity dedicated to supporting well-being and recovery. Through compassion, understanding and practical support, we're helping people build resilience, hope and brighter futures across our community. To find out more and see if you can help, visit preferredfuturesiom.org. Preferred Futures. Seen, heard, supported. Hope for every future. This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
As a long-established firm, Mann Benham offer a comprehensive range of legal services assisting individuals and businesses, from sole traders to the island's largest employers. Mann Benham have built up a reputation for giving a fast, efficient, cost-effective service with a personal edge. From buying and selling property to drawing up leases, employment matters, contracts and more. Call Mann Benham for your free consultation on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
For a wide range of wood-burning stoves and a complete installation service, visit The Snug in Ramsey. And we don't stop there. Kiln-dried firewood and full aftercare service, including chimney sweeps and maintenance. Call The Snug in Ramsey.
At Ramsey Garden Centre, enjoy exclusive savings and get inspiration for your home or garden. And as stock arrives every week, drop in or follow our Facebook page. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
Do you ever feel that the news sounds, well, a little familiar? Chances are, it's because you've heard it all before. Using windmills to produce power? We were trialling those in the early 1960s. Old news. Reform of the Legislative Council? They were talking about that in the 1950s and earlier. Old news. Problems at Peel Commissioners? The Examiner suggested there was another farce there in 1945. Old news. Listen to these stories and more in the Old News Podcast with me, H, available via your usual podcast provider or direct from the Manx Radio website. And you can also hear each new podcast broadcast live every Sunday morning, just after 8:30. There's nothing new under the sun, it seems. It's all old news.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Oh, you have to listen to this week's old news. Fantastic. It's the fate of the horse trams in 1947. There was to be a special meeting of Douglas Town Council to look at the horse trams in 1947. And this is absolutely amazing. In 1947, how many passengers do you think the horse trams carried? 1947. 1.7 million. Journeys, 1.7 million passenger journeys were counted for the 1946 season. As far as the buses were concerned, they carried 1.75 million passengers. This is 1947. Crikey. Well, I know people use public transport a lot more than that. Anyway, the full story is with Howie on Saturday morning. You can go to the website, click on the podcast for old news, yesterday's news, and the fate of the horse trams, a fascinating series of programmes. And again, that's available as a podcast. We need some changes to healthcare in 10 years' time, says Marie. We need a healthcare where the public get a good service, like we used to get with the DHSS. Mrs. Cope made it more about finance. Our government had the chance to introduce a system where new residents would pay towards their healthcare and help save money, but they rejected it. That's Marie's point of view where that's concerned. And thank you to hello Desmond, listening to Man in Line in Albufeira in Portugal at the moment. Thank you. What's the weather like in Albufeira? Always nice, apparently. Timble's still a part-time job. A four-day week and more holidays than teachers. I'm sure they would do. But Francis, why don't you stand in September and then you'll learn if they do work. Well, Timwald is one of those things. I'm sure there are people within Timwald who don't do as much work as some other people do. Some people may work very, very hard. And we normally know who the ones who don't work hard are. £55 to sit in the grandstand and look at the side of four black containers during the races. There's going to be a lot of refunds for the TT, says Tony, because we weren't told. A note, let me see. All disposal charges have already been applied in the UK, so the supplier in the UK that sends any white goods here should take them back. Currys did, but somewhere along the line, somebody took away their licence to ship them off the Isle of Man. This should be automatically granted free of charge by our greed and vanity project-driven government. Well, somebody's making money out of it, 345. Somebody somewhere is, you know, the fact is, if a disposal charge has been paid somewhere, then surely we shouldn't be paying at the civic community sites to take the darn things away. And as I mentioned, it's quite a lot of money. If I got rid of an old fridge freezer relatively recently. It's the best part of £100 to do. Does anybody know how it costs £40 to take a washing machine to Balladool and only £20 to take it to Douglas? Is it really cheaper at Balladool? Here's Bonzo now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi there, yes. Talking about these porta cabins up at the grandstand.
Yeah.
Now, of course, one of them is supposedly going to be used by the telly coverage, isn't it? But, of course, we're filming a major film around the TT, about the TT, featuring the TT, which is, what is it, Brad Pitt, I think, is behind it, and it's Channing Tatum, is it, who's starring in it?
Yeah.
Anyhow, they're you know, already sort of planning for shooting around the pit area and such, and sort of asking for extras who are mechanics who can look as if they know what they're doing, or indeed know what they're doing, sort of around the bikes in the background. But that setup, that would to me suggest that they want a camera position so that they can film down up Glencrutchery Road to Governor's Bridge. And then down, of course, past the grandstand and down towards St. Ninian's, and also to then film into the pit lane.
So you think it may be something to do with that?
Oh, yes. It wouldn't surprise me that it has something to do with that.
Right. Have you got Have you got a job as an extra on it, Bonzo?
No. It just sort of came up on my feed via On a Man Creative Industries. I've done my time hurrying up and waiting in makeup, darling.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bonzo.
Okay then, cheers, bye.
All right, good to hear from you. Well, Channing Tatum and Brad in the pit lane. I don't know whether Brad Pitt's on. They've taken over the entirety of a big hotel for this film that's on the way. Well, the last one did well. Closer to the Edge did really well. It was a fine film, and they credit that with part of the reason for rejuvenating the TT when it went around the world. Some people, of course, we're used to it all the time. It's genuinely a jaw-dropping spectacle. And one of the few places in the world where there is road racing on public roads, and large parts of it absolutely free to watch. Other places, of course, you have to pay, but there's still many places where you can watch it absolutely free. And in that way, it's unique around the world. So, well, let's hope this new film does the job as well. Does anybody know? Oh, that's the same question. I'm reliably informed last week the current standard waiting time for respiratory clinic at Nobles is several years because it is overwhelmed. This is disgraceful, and surely this is unacceptable. Mrs. Pace, Cope says we're off the pace on IT, and it will save money. But how millions have been spent on IT by ManxCare with no savings? Also, she said care should move from the hospital. It has. The hospital has been doing less, and it's evidenced by the waiting lists, says Gaz. What we want, it's really simple. What we want is care when we want it in a timely fashion, and that care to be effective. That's it. If we start there and work backwards, how much it costs and the organisation and the organisational structure of that organisation, surely is just a detail. If we start off with the ideal, you know, the ideal thing is that everything works, everybody gets the treatment when they want it, and it works. I know I'm being idealistic, but I think we should be idealistic. Start with an ideal and then work backwards to the practicalities. David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, just to let you know, my panels are doing well, and I've just got my electricity bill. And I can't believe how much savings I'm making. Anyway, I'll leave it at that.
What are you generating, by the way?
I'm in another room now, because I can't look it up. But the battery's 100% full, so that's fine. That'll last me till tonight, and maybe first thing in the morning. And then it'll top up if the weather's good. But I wanted to talk about the Green Living Grant, and the department now is thinking of putting another 100 grand in the kitty.
Yeah.
The Green Living Grant, and she talked about today, and I was going to call on Monday, but I thought I'd get it over with it now, is do people really want now insulation anymore, light bulbs, and the minor stuff, electronic controls on boiler systems and stuff like that? We're doing it now. Most of the people are doing it now, getting it done when they get a new system put in. And I just wonder whether she'd look, or you could ask her, is she looking at something different? That maybe people have a few bob, but just couldn't make putting PV panels on the roof or putting a battery in to store electricity. And what are they doing for that?
What do you think they should be doing?
I think they should be doing that anyway. And then the other thing I was looking at this morning was, which shocked me a little bit, was somebody was quizzing, was Manx Radio giving us value for money? I don't know whether you've seen that. But anyway, my answer would be to people out there, yes, you look at how much advertising we get and how popular, and give you a gold star here, how popular your program is when people are even listening, you know, don't live in the island.
Yeah.
I wonder if Keir Starmer's listening, you know, if he's looking for a seat, he can always get one up here in the Isle of Man.
Oh, crikey, can you imagine? Right.
And it's great to hear that Eric is standing. And just to add some flavour, because I've been a local authority member for a long time and still am, as such, it's a great place to get into politics. It's a great place to do things for the community. And that's what it's all about. Instead of being the politicians now, and when they don't do nothing, and they're still giving £77,000 year.
All right. Have a good weekend. Hey.
See you, mate. Bye.
Big Red Storage in Tramode and Ronalds Way offers secure self-storage units in various sizes with ground floor options and 24/7 access. Check offers and prices using our online space calculator at bigred.im or call 640040.
great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Financial Options and Chase Wealth Solutions are committed to quality financial advice for the whole island. We have opened a new office at the Mountain View Innovation Centre in Ramsey, where we offer mortgage advice on Mondays and life assurance, investment and pension advice the rest of the week. Call 640 350 to book. Financial Options and Chase Wealth Solutions, serving the whole island. Chase Financial Services Limited, trading as Financial Options and Chase Wealth Solutions, is regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
Weekend or workend, you're tuned to the Sunday Chill Out Show with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio. It's all
about love. Join me Sunday evenings from 7 for 2 hours of the most chilled out and relaxing new and classic tracks on Manx Radio's Sunday Chill Out Show. Why did I even bother?
There'll never be you and I. Kick back, relax, and chill with Chris Pearson on the Manx Radio Chill Out Show.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
14 minutes before one, Friday lunchtime on the Isle of Man, and Stephen's on now. Hi, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I wonder, could I just remind everybody of a positive action group meeting on Monday evening, that's Monday the 18th, and it's entitled Pathways to Drug Law Reform. And we've got a great panel for this event. There's Ray Lakeman, Neil Woods, who is a former undercover police officer and author, Jane Slater, Chief Executive Officer of Transform, which is a drug policy foundation and campaign manager of Anyone's Child. So I do think that this is a very important topic and one that should be discussed, because it does impact on a lot of aspects of daily life. Not least, if nothing is done, then we'll need a much larger prison.
Where's the meeting?
The meeting is at the Manx Legion Club in Douglas on the harbour. Doors open 7 o'clock for a 7:30 start. And who knows, Manx Radio may even send a reporter to cover the meeting.
Wow. Okay. Are you a member of PAG?
Yes, I am a member, yes. Okay. I help organise the meetings.
Okay, and briefly, what's your opinion, Stephen, on this subject?
Well, I think that we've got to look at the whole issue of drug law reform. I don't think there's ever been a full and independent and proper debate within Tynwald on policy reform. I think policy does need to be reformed, because there's very confusing signals at the moment. On the one hand, you can go to the doctor and get a prescription for cannabis use, and on the other, if you smoke some weed, then you're thrown in the slammer. So I do think that we've got to have a big discussion on where we want to be with it. What do we want to use our law for, to reinforce the law, and are we doing it right at the moment? Just to carry on as we are doing, I don't think is an option, because I believe that the Home Affairs Department is looking at more wings on the prison, and it's mainly due to those who are in prison for drug-related crimes. So we can't continue on this path, I would have thought. If it is a war on drugs, we're losing it. The Chief Constable is using this as an example to increase surveillance at the ports. We're using a substantial amount of state time and state resources to enforce these laws. So I do think that the new House has got to at least re-look at the whole issue. Otherwise, it's going to cost us millions.
Right. Okay. So it's Monday the 18th. What time is it again?
7 o'clock. The doors open.
Okay.
And 7:30 start. And as I say, let's hope that Manx Radio might even send a reporter along.
Okay. We'll pass that along.
And also, Andy, this would be a great opportunity to Phil Gorn to interview these people, because he's unlikely to meet people like this on the island. As I say, an undercover police officer who's got his view on it, and the chief executive of Anyone's Child. So let's hope even Phil gets on board and interviews these people for one of his programmes. That'll be a topic that's not often heard, and this angle might be one that people don't hear. So
okay.
Let's hope that it happens.
Well, they've heard the message. All right, good to hear from you, Stephen. Have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
10 to 1 on Manx Radio. I've got to say hi, by the way, because 9 weeks next Thursday, something big happens regarding the Isle of Man. 9 weeks next Thursday, it is the 2026 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. So all the people involved will be training like billio at the moment. The games take place Thursday, 23rd of July to Sunday, the 2nd of August. We have 22 people in the squad from the Isle of Man. So I'm going to name check them because they do an awful lot of work. They ruin their own personal lives while getting ready for it. So in athletics, Sarah Aston, Regan Corrin, Ollie Lockley and David Malarkey. In the bowls team, it's Michael Collister, Mark McGreal and Caroline Whitehead. On the track cycling, Matthew Bostock and Ben Swift. In gymnastics, it's Harry Ayres. Para powerlifting, Alfie Besants. And the swimming team, Peter Allen, Libby Kerfey, Lauren Dennett, Charlie Foster, Ella Justice, Magnus Kelly, Laura Kinley, Kira Prentice, Harry Robinson, Alex Turnbull and Joel Watterson. Our 22 man and woman Isle of Man squad for the 2026 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. We wish them all the very best. Right, this subject about what the new Green Living Grant is going to be in the future. If you've got anything you'd like to say to Claire Barber, again, a couple of options. You can either hang around till Monday and call her live on the air, or you can email in the meantime maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. Claire Barber announced last September on Manx Radio she'll be launching the new Green Grant in April 2026. She hasn't. She's just added to the old one. It's not being delivered. Well, you can say that to her face on Tuesday if you want. Maybe the hospital should separate from Manx Care, says David, and instead of the running of nobles, be handed, say, to the Spire Group with a separate budget, says David. It's funny, whenever you mention that P word, lots of people have a gut reaction to the P word in that they run away from it, run a mile away from it. The P word, of course, is privatisation. But there are many places around the world that have a semi-private system. Germany has a semi-private system where the whole thing is run by the big insurance companies. Germans are very big in insurance, and the insurance companies run it. And everybody's allowed to make a certain amount of profit, but you'd never really hear Germans moaning about their health system. The health system there is very efficient. Again, it's Germany. And it funds, there's a certain state funding, but there's also a private funding. So I don't know whether you think that the time may have come to actually look. And again, we're a fairly small population. Whether anybody who knows a lot about insurance has ever wondered whether or not that could happen on the Isle of Man. Now, again, many people run a mile when you mention that word, the P word, privatisation. But if it improves the service, if suddenly you could get an NHS dentist, you could get a hip replacement, or you could get cataracts done, or the diabetes service was prompt, then surely that would be better. We have to look, as I say, let's be ideal about this. Let's try and get the best service that we possibly can and then figure out how to fund it. Don't you think? Or do we just crack on the way we are doing at the moment, shoveling money down into whichever organisation provides it? The containers up at the TT grandstand look like the ones that go in the fan zone for a studio. So that's probably what it's all about. On the containers on the grandstand, says C and Onken, they're not for filming, they're TV coverage ones in the field last year. They're this year to get better coverage and action in Parc Fermé and at the start line. Also, it's easier to get interviews with the riders having it there. It doesn't block any view of the start line for the grandstand, and the speed the bikes go, you will only not see them for about a second, like going behind a tree, says C in Onkham. Maybe the Hollywood TT filmmakers could double up and film a version of Timwald live from the Mercury VIP. It would, can you imagine Brad Pitt in Timwald? On the grandstand now, £50 a seat, but you can't see the bikes coming down the road because of the containers and the trees. Government will cut the big trees down first, says Pat. I can't find any online planning application details for the porta cabins by the grandstand. A TV studio will presumably have planning because obviously insurance, health and safety will apply. I'm thinking of standing for Peel and Glenfaber, but I don't know if I can stand because nothing positive seems to happen. Convince me otherwise, says 557. No, you convince yourself, 557. That's what politicians do. They have fire from inside and want to make everything better. Isn't that right? Well said, Andrew, regarding the studio in Parc Fermé. I saw and block given that the TT are commentating off a screen. They might as well be on the moon. Why on earth in the paddock blocking the view? And where are the scoreboards? Says Sue, disappointed in Ramsey. Well, where are the scoreboards? Exactly. A message in that just says the grandstand containers are for media. They should be moved next to the grandstand building out of the way. They look ridiculous. And do they have planning permission? Maybe the pavement repairs in St John's are on hold until the statue of Stu Peters is in place, says 762. Isn't it King Ari? Or is it the same thing? So Claire Barber and Tim Cowsell in on Monday to talk about the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. In the meantime, have a good weekend. Thanks to Jason on the phones today. Very good job. Have a great weekend. Thanks for being on Man in Line today.
WIN